Welcome, Lund loyalists, YouTubers watching on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective, those watching on X and Instagram and listening on Apple and Spotify. It's John Lund Unleashed and johnlundunleashed.com. Brought to you by Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center. Right now featuring amazing stem cell technology. For all your pain and for the guys, check out the latest in low T and testosterone therapy to make you feel like yourself again. Riopel Cosmetic Surgery and Laser Center at riopelcosmetic.com. Now, all juiced up and ready to go. Here's Johnny.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us on a Friday edition of the show. As you can see, how high can they climb? There's Steph Curry. He looked high, actually, in that picture. See a little Doncic in the back. He was terrible last night. There's old Justin Verlander with a smile as it is the Giants home opener. So if you're heading to the Giants home opener, let me know where you will be. Although this will be a little bit different for me. I'm actually working the game today. I'm actually going to be a media member. Oops, wrong side. Maybe a media member today, unlike the A's game. I was trying to drink out of the wrong end. Unlike the A's game the other day where I was, I went on the field beforehand, but then I wanted to kind of treat that game like a fan experience to kind of see what it would be like to be a fan up in Sacramento at Sutter Health minor league ballpark for the A's and the Cubs. So that was a little bit different. Today I'm actually going to be working for the most part and going into the clubhouse and talking to people, and I don't want to have booze breath and they're like, who's this dude? So I will be a professional, if you can imagine that. Today it is episode 106. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get out to roll call, if you are new, welcome. Please, if you're watching maybe on X at John Lund Radio, Instagram, Twitch, any of those places, LinkedIn, Facebook, if you would come over to the YouTube page and subscribe, that would be outstanding. Please make sure at the very least you give us a thumbs up. That means that the algorithm will say, hey, this is good content, whether it is or not. But that will be a good thing for us, and make sure that you have your alerts on. Because like yesterday, sent out the short on Shohei Ohtani, sent out about a 5-minute piece on Ohtani, sent out a little bit on Kuminga. So we always are sending out stuff even after the show, 8 a.m. Monday through Friday. Tomorrow we'll be here at 10 a.m. So make sure that you stop by there. Let me close my email so we don't get these dings throughout the show. But all sorts of great stuff going on today. Very, very busy with the Warriors getting the win over the Lakers. 123-116. It's the big three, but it's the contributions, as you can see on the chalkboard there. We'll take a look at the standings because that's what we do. Do we have to be concerned about a Jimmy Butler injury as we go down the chalkboard? Giants home opener. Like I said, I got to get out of here early. I apologize. I've done that twice this week, but it's because I've got to, I was going to Sacramento on Wednesday, get down to the stadium in the city today, and Bob Melvin talks around 10:30. So I got to get out of here at about 9. By the time I park and do all those kind of things, I'll be racing to make sure I can get into the dugout on home opening day, because I want to be in there for Bob Melvin. And I've known Bob for a long time and just want to reacquaint myself and go into the clubhouse and get you guys all sorts of great content. So I'll be doing that. So I got to jump out of here probably around 9 this morning. So we'll talk fast and get everything done. Can they do it at home? That's the thing, is offensively, very good on the road, good pitching, but the bats really came alive on the road. The question always is, when you come back to this ballpark, how effective can you be offensively? So we'll talk about that. The Kittle contract, Trey McBride got a big contract with the Cardinals, and George Kittle's the best tight end in the game, and I don't care how old he is. The AAV, average annual value, on a Trey McBride deal is $19 million. I don't know what the exact actual numbers are and guarantees and all that, but Kittle's got to top that. So honestly, that needed to happen first before George Kittle was going to seriously get into contract negotiations with the 49ers. They need to extend him because his number jumps on the cap from $12 to $22 million. They're not going to play at that number. Although, with an AAV of 19, that's probably what they're looking at, but they'd like to extend Kittle. So I think that's going to happen. And now that McBride's deal is out of the way, they definitely have a structure for that. So we should see that hopefully shortly. Why the 49ers purge? We already knew this, but when you see it in black and white, it's like, damn. And everybody's, why are they doing this? I'll show you a graphic that makes it like they had no choice on this whole thing. So we'll get into those things. Random things happen throughout the show. If you're new around here, I just kind of go off on tangents. I don't mean to. By the way, speaking of tangents, I didn't have a burrito. I meant to. And then my wife and I, after we got a bunch of work done, it was probably around, 3 o'clock. So we did kind of like late lunch, early dinner, and we did go to a Mexican restaurant, and the burritos did look good, but then it ended up getting taquitos and margaritas. But it was, you know, the concept was the same. Here was the thing that blew my freaking mind, though. I go to this Mexican joint that's by our house. It's very, very good. And I walk in and I go, it's National Burrito Day. And they go, huh? It was like 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm like, it's National Burrito Day. And they didn't know. I'm like, what are you talking about? It was a National Burrito Day yesterday. Like, you got to know that. You got to have specials. You got to, like, come on. You need a new marketing person, man. What's wrong with you? It's National Burrito Day. And I was thinking about burritos. Also, a chimichanga. Chimichanga, which is just a deep fried burrito. But I didn't do that because I can't do that. Look, can you imagine? I'd look like the Goodyear blimp. It'd be unbelievable. Even though back in the day, I could crush chimichangas. I mean, man, deep fried burrito. Yes, please. And then they put the enchilada sauce over the top, then the cheese. That's why I tell my son this. He's 21. Like, dude, eat while you can. Like, your metabolism is like a bird. Just, he's got super fast metabolism. He's incredibly skinny. And I'm like, go eat everything. And he's kind of picky in what he eats. And I'm like, man, you're just missing out, bro. If I could do that, oh my God. So anyway, ton of stuff to get to. Some good videos. LeBron, Jimmy Butler, got to be concerned about his injury. If you missed the thing I played about John Paul Morosi yesterday, I want to play that and we'll get into some Giants too. Your questions, comments, thoughts. And again, please make sure you're following along at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube and on the Bay Area Sports Collective. Because if you'd have known, for example, yesterday, and Tommy came out a little bit earlier, I thought Tom was going to be on 11 yesterday, but he had Kevin Franzen on. And just because the interview was yesterday does not mean it does not carry to today. So they had a lot of great conversations about baseball and the Giants and everything like that. And you can check that on Tolbert's channel, and that's on the Bay Area Sports Collective. So there you go. All right, Harley Bird, good morning to you. Baba Booey, it's very nice to see you, my friend. Fiend, hello, Fiend. Very nice to see you. Hello, Jake. Good morning, Vernon. Ernesto Ron is here today. Good to see you, my friend. Skills, hello, Skills. It is awesome to see you. Hi, Chris. Christopher is here today. Happy Gilmore. Very nice. I think I've seen you in the room before, but just wanted to say hello. Oh, great. I'm back to leaving the show when I pop something up there. That's nice. Hello, Papa J, Todd K. That's very nice. I did that on purpose, Dr. Seuss. Who else is in the room today? Very cool, man. John Holmes. Good morning, John Holmes. East Coast Red and Gold Podcast. Make sure if you're a Niners fan, you hit up East Coast Red and Gold Podcast. Good friends of mine, been on the show before. They know what they're talking about with the Niners, but they're just a lot of fun. So make sure you give them a follow as well. Very, very cool. I dig it that they're, you know, there they are on the East Coast, big time Niner fans. What else? Mark, good morning to you, Mark. It's very cool to see you. Happy Friday. Hi, Jazz fan. Very cool to see everybody. Thank you, thank you, thank you, as I always say, for making the time for our show today. And like I said, we'll crank this out in about an hour because I got to jump. I got to get to, plus I got to look nice. I got to shave, I got to shower, got to do all those kind of things. I was going to do it before the show. Yeah, didn't work out. Did brush my teeth, did not take a shower. But anyway, all right, let's get to things. Big win last night. Let me pop this up on the screen, and I want to get your thoughts if this changes your opinion of anything whatsoever. I told you, of course, as I always do, and I tell you, bet against me, bet against me, bet against me. I said, oh, this is going to be a loss tonight, but it wouldn't have mattered. I said, they're still going to get up there, I think, in the four hole, but you know, we know, and this is kind of a precursor to the playoffs. These games feel like a playoff game. I don't know about you, but they feel like a playoff game to me. So when I look at the game last night, 123-116, they're going to tighten up the rotations a little bit. Like, how much is, you know, depending on the series, how much is Looney going to play? Are they going to trust Quentin Post in the postseason? Buddy Hield is going to have a quick pull, as he did last night, 12 minutes and 36 seconds. I don't know that he's going to play very much. If he's kind of like Mo Buckets was a few years ago. Like, if you've got it going on, we'll sense it early and you might get a few more minutes. But if you don't, we don't have time to wait. So they are starting to kind of do a bit of a playoff rotation. As you can see there, Buddy Hield was only 12 and a half minutes. Gui Santos, who I don't expect to see very much, if at all, in the playoffs, was at 10 and a half. I think he'll actually get less. Looney could get more because Steve Kerr trusts him, just depending on the matchup. But they used to love Trace Jackson Davis, and he's kind of fallen off. But you get my point, is that the starting five is going to get a bunch of minutes. Kuminga is going to get minutes. And then after that, it's kind of going to be what the matchup is. I think Looney, because they trust him, it's going to be more of a trust factor. But what you saw last night, look, the big three are going to do what the big three do, right? Steph Curry last night, 10 of 21, 4 of 11. But look at those free throws. I don't know if it's contagious from Jimmy Butler because Jimmy gets to the line. 13 of 14 from the line for Steph. Now, a lot of that was late when the game was out of reach and they kept fouling Steph because they had to. So he scores 37 last night. He does very Steph things. Draymond Green never gets credit for what he does. Had a great strip at the end of Luka, which basically sealed the game. So his numbers don't always tell the story on what he did. Not the greatest Jimmy Butler night. I mean, two free throws for Jimmy, 36 minutes. That's not normal. But those two free throws came, you know, late where it was like, makes a play. And there was actually a comment, I think, from Reggie Miller last night. Harlan and Miller had the call on TNT. Wasn't that nice? And about, you know, how Jimmy, as we talk about all the time, how Jimmy can kind of settle the offense down with his inside. So they really have a nice thing. And then, you know, Moses Moody, 13 points, just very steady in what he does. But the thing really that stood out beyond that, because I expect Butler and Draymond and Curry to carry this team in the playoffs, but the Warriors are going to be extremely tough to beat. Now, I don't expect Podziemski to go 10 to 17, 8 to 10 for 28 points, 8 boards, 6 assists. I mean, if he does that, they could be a title contender. He's not going to do that night in and night out. But he's obviously playing his best basketball at this point of the season. In the last few games, he's two of the last five games, I think he set a three-point mark for himself. Career high last night going 8 of 10. Now, he's not going to do that every night. He's not going to score 28. He scored 22 of those 28 in the first half. He was absolutely on fire. But let's say that Brandon Podziemski, because they're going to put so much emphasis on Curry and Butler offensively, guys like Moody and Podziemski, and when Kuminga's on the floor, they're going to be extremely valuable because Podziemski's going to have those shots. It's not like they're going to adjust their game plan. All right, guys, Podziemski's hot. Let's bring somebody over on him. They can't do that because Curry's in the backcourt. They can't do that because of Butler. They can't, you know, so guys like Moody and Podziemski in the starting lineup, they're going to get open shots. You know, Moody loves that corner three. He's going to get that shot. Can you knock it down? I mean, going 3 of 6 last night, you got 50% from three. I mean, look at those two combined. 11 of 16 on some quick math from three. They're not going to do that every night. I understand that. But if they're a threat, it's like, damn, because they're not leaving Jimmy and they're sure as hell not leaving Steph. They're going to pick Steph up in the playoffs at half court. That's just how it's going to be. And they're going to do what they always do with Steph in the playoffs. Physical him, bump him. That's just going to be the way it's going to go. And I got news for you, Bob Fitzgerald. They're not going to call as many fouls in the playoffs. They just don't. So keep your voice in check. Don't whine. Don't cry. Don't make my dogs howl in the house. Call a foul. Like it's the playoffs. Stop it. So that's just the way it's going to be. And other guys are going to have to step up in that stead and make plays. And last night was like a playoff game. And so Jonathan Kuminga, 7 of 12, he can do that. You know, 18 points. It's not even only the points for him. It's, dude, you're getting some boards. You got 9 boards last night, 4 assists. I stand by what I said. I still wouldn't give him a max contract, but that's a nice stat line for a guy who played 25 minutes, who is, to me, as you look at this lineup, he's going to be the first guy off the bench. Hugely important. You're going to be the Andre Iguodala. You're going to have to sit back and say, okay, is there a guy I have to defend? And I give him a ton of credit because one of the things I thought when he came back, I thought, is his agent going to get in his ear and say, you got to be a starter. You got to dominate. You got to score. You got to do this. Steve Kerr said last night after the game, they had a specific role for Kuminga and he filled it perfectly. That's what's going to get you paid, son. Bottom line is, that's what's going to get you paid, whether it's by the Warriors or somebody else. The fact that you're spinning into a team atmosphere, and last night you had opportunities and you took advantage of them offensively, but the thing that is really going to get him paid is, can you be that all-around player? They're going to ask you in the playoffs to take on some serious defensive opportunities, and it gets around the league. Like, okay, you scored 18, 20, whatever. That's sexy, and that'll get you some contracts. But people around the league, they question his maturity, his coachability, his ability to fit into a team concept. And if he can do these kind of things in the playoffs and they can go far, Kuminga's getting paid by somebody. It might not be the Warriors. It might be the Warriors. It just depends on how early they get an exit. If they go deep, maybe he stays around and they do pay him. If somehow they get knocked out in the first round and the Lakers are still a tough matchup, and we'll get into that in just a second, we'll look at the standings. But he played really well last night. So, yeah, we always expect it out of Steph Curry. We expect it out of Jimmy Butler, which is just okay. We expect it out of Draymond Green, who made that big defensive play at the end of the game. But it's guys like Podziemski and Kuminga and Moody who really are going to determine just how deep the Warriors can go. And last night, especially in Kuminga and Podziemski's case, they were outstanding. So that's what it looked like last night. Give me your thoughts on what you saw last night. Now, you know what we're going to do next, because this is what we have to do. Let's look at the standings. And yesterday I went through all the schedules, everybody, and I told you what everything was going to look like at the end. I'm 0-for-1 in predicting Warriors games. So 4-5 matchup right there, tightened up, as you can see right in the middle. Lakers at 46-30, Warriors at 45-31. And I'll take a look at the schedule in just a second. Nuggets, now remember, Lakers have the tiebreaker over the Warriors. Nuggets, obviously, who haven't lost to the Warriors, have the tiebreaker over the Warriors. Warriors have the tiebreaker over the Timberwolves, who are just still one game back in the loss column. We sit there and go, man, this is great. They're really moving up. Yeah, still one back. Timberwolves win last night. Clippers, 44-32, but one back in the loss column. So those teams are right on the Warriors. If they slip, and the next couple of games are kind of tough, and we'll get into that in a second, but you're away from the Nuggets, which is nice, and you could catch the Lakers and be the 4 and host that series against the Lakers. The thing that I think is interesting as we look at this whole thing from that perspective, if you want to look at standings, we can do that too. Oklahoma City is going to be the 1, Houston's going to be the 2, and then it starts here. Probably not catching the Nuggets. Now, if you beat the Nuggets, this is where it gets interesting. If you beat the Nuggets and that game is upcoming next and everybody's going to play, according to Steve Kerr, that would make the Nuggets 47-31. You would be 46-31, so you'd be right there in the loss column, but you don't have the season series. So essentially right now, you're 2 back of the Nuggets, and I'll show you their schedule. It is relatively easy, but things happen. The Lakers right there, you just got closer to them. Grizzlies win last night in Miami, and Miami had been hot. I don't know what the hell's wrong with Ja Morant. Does another gun gesture. I don't care. It doesn't affect me, but the league just told him stop doing that. And then he did it again last night, so he might get suspended. So that's another thing that the Grizzlies are going to have to worry about after firing their head coach. That's just weird, man. That's what I'm always telling you about giving guys big contracts. You know, Ja Morant's a hell of a player, but he's stupid. He's got a 10-set head. And you want that guy as the, you know, people tell, you know, hit me up all the time in the various ways that you can get a hold of me. And I talk about, you know, Steph Curry as the CEO. And giving the money to Brock Purdy because you're not going to have to worry about a Brock Purdy. That's big to an organization. And if you're Memphis and you have a bonehead as the face of your franchise, then that's a problem. And he can be a tremendous basketball player. But I can tell you this, Memphis isn't going anywhere with this guy as the face of the franchise and the supposed leader of the franchise. Guy's just too dumb. I mean, all you have to do is not do gun gestures. Just don't do those. The league doesn't want you specifically to do it. Nobody's picking on you. He's doing that whole thing about that. Nobody's picking on you. You've done that. You've had issues with it off the court a couple of times. They don't want you to do it. They asked you not to do it. All you got to do is not do it. And he's just immature. And he just wants, he's like, I don't care. It's all right. You're the face of the franchise, but whatever. So but believe me, I'm not worried about Memphis. I'm just saying it matters who you give the money to. That's all I'm saying. Minnesota. Gets a win, so they stay on your butt. Like I said, the Clippers are right there. Mavericks look like they're going to be the 9. They get Anthony Davis, who gets the game winner against Atlanta last night, and there's the Kings. Possible for the Suns. I doubt it. They just look really bad right now. But again, I don't want to get in that 7-8-9 because you got Anthony Davis, who's a big pain in the butt. The Clippers have enough talent to beat you. Minnesota's not bad, so just stay where you are. As excited as we get for this whole thing, these two teams, 32. Memphis, 32. But you have the tiebreaker on Memphis, tiebreaker on Minnesota. Do not have the tiebreaker on the Clippers, and don't have the tiebreaker on the Lakers or the Nuggets. So that's how things are. Don't mean to get overly complicated on that thing, but that's how everything is. So as you, let me look at this really, really quickly. I'm not going to overdo this because I've already screwed this up. So this was from yesterday, obviously. Lakers, you get that win. The Nuggets, I put as an L, but that's a big game. And I think that's why Steve is playing everybody, because not only could you potentially get up to that point, you could get up to 3, you're 2 back of them, but I think Houston at home, Phoenix is really on the ropes, San Antonio and Portland are out of this whole thing. I didn't mention the Clippers, but if it comes down to it and they're playing for something, that's why I didn't put a win or a loss there. I'm not sure what they're going to be playing for at that particular point and who's going to be resting and who's not. But then the Lakers the rest of the way, so now you've pulled within a game, but they have the season series 3-1. So they've got the Oklahoma City stuff. That'll be interesting because Oklahoma City's got it wrapped up except for they want the best overall record in the NBA. So they'll probably play all their guys. Will they lose both those games? Maybe they'll get one of those games. Dallas, I think they win that. That's a rematch. That's Luka going back to Dallas. I can't imagine on April 9th that Luka loses that game. I think he'll score 60 and shove it in Dallas's face. I don't think there's any way. Houston, Portland. So it's a fairly tough schedule. They could catch the Lakers. Clippers, as I said, one game back. That's where they are. I didn't, like I said, I didn't fill in that last one. Those weird back-to-back games. That's going on. Minnesota, to me, it's more about Denver. Can you catch Denver? Well, you look at right there. Now, if you beat them and you pull within a game, but then Indiana, Sacramento, Memphis at Houston, I guess they could lose. But remember, that's that last game of the season. So who's playing for what at that point? Would Houston sit a bunch of guys? Because Houston's going to be the two. They can't catch Oklahoma City for the one, and they're not going to drop into the three. So Houston on the last game of the season, are they going to play anybody? Because if Denver needs that game and Houston does not, Houston could just sit everybody. So that's kind of what the schedule looks like right there. Bottom line to the whole thing is, I said this yesterday. I said this was going to be the final standings. Well, I already missed the Lakers-Warriors game. So I look at the Nuggets there. It's really tight, though. I think the Nuggets have the easier schedule. So I think the Nuggets will hang on for three. Warriors, I'm saying, are going to be the four. Lakers, I had a 48-34, but again, I'm off on a game there. That'd be pretty cool if the Warriors could win 50 this year, given all the things that's gone around this team. But the one thing is, and I'm going to play this for you because this is from LeBron James. Other teams are noticing, like with Jimmy Butler now, the teams are just looking at the Warriors completely different. Here's LeBron James after the game, and LeBron was great last night. What did he get, like 33? Steph had 37. But here's LeBron on the difference that Jimmy Butler makes. Because remember, they had beaten the Warriors. They were up 3-0 in the season series. And so here's LeBron talking about the difference Jimmy Butler makes.
Been a part of them making big acquisitions to change their dynamic of their team before. I was, had to go against them when they added Kevin Durant. So, I mean, Jimmy Butler is great. You know, he's adds a toughness to him. He adds a championship DNA type of guy. So, but it's always the same. They always figure it out. They always add somebody to mix.
I got to pop this up one more time really quick. Hang on a sec. Let me add this back.
Been a part of them making big acquisitions.
Hang on. Are those overalls? Purple overalls? That's a look. And I shouldn't say anything about looks. I am, you know, I am not a fashionista. I'm not trying to say that I am, but that was a bit, that was a look. Purple overalls, and I'm sure they were thousands and thousands of dollars. Lots of my friends when I was growing up, there was an overall stage when I was growing up where people were wearing overalls, and sometimes they'd have them like up, sometimes they'd have like one thing down. Never bought overalls. I was looking at overalls going because I have family that are cow farmers, milk, you know, whatever, dairy farmers, I should say, dairy farmers in Wisconsin, and they would wear big overalls and stuff. And one time I went out there and they're like, you got to wear the overalls. And I was milking cows. I'm like, I hate overalls. Anyway, purple overalls. That's a look. And I'm sure they're very expensive and they're in right now. Very fashion forward is LeBron, but I didn't know overalls were in right now. Apparently they are. All right. So speaking of Jimmy Butler, this is the one concern that you might have from last night. Jimmy Butler banged up a little bit. Here's what Jimmy said after the game.
I'm nicked up a little bit. I hope that I'm going to be all right, though, so we'll see you tomorrow.
Did you get any tests
done? No. Not yet. I think we all was really focused on getting this one.
Yeah.
So I tried to keep the main thing, and that's focused on getting this one.
Do you think you'll need an MRI or x-ray or anything like that?
Maybe. Probably. I hope not. But like I said, we'll see how I feel in the morning.
What was the key in fighting through it? What was the key in fighting through it?
Knowing why you do what you do. And that's to win, to go out there and compete with my guys. You know, you see Steph banged up and he's going out there.
Yeah, that's not great because as we talked about with Jimmy Butler, he's been the difference with the Warriors. If there's no Jimmy Butler, this team is fighting for the play-in game. If there is no Jimmy Butler, I've said this many times, I think that Steph Curry does not want to be in a mediocre basketball team. He made that point abundantly clear during the season. And I think he would ask for a trade in this offseason, and this would have been the most turbulent, crazy offseason that the Warriors had ever seen, just because if Steph's gone, then Draymond's gone. You might as well just blow the whole thing sky high. And without Jimmy Butler, I think that would have happened. Conversely, now they are a championship-contending team. It's rejuvenated the entire organization. Everything just fits. The puzzle pieces, like Jimmy is in there, and now Kuminga off the bench fits, and Podziemski fits, and all these different things. And it's not just an outside game. There's an inside game, and you can get to the line, and you know, he just brings an energy, a championship, as you heard what LeBron James in his purple overall said there. Just it's just that there's a whole dynamic that changes with Jimmy Butler. So if this is an injury of any kind of consequence, they're back to me, to that team that was the 10th place playing team. I like Kuminga. I like Pajemski, but they're role players. Maybe as their career progresses, they'll be more than that. But right now, with the three that they've got, the big three that they've got, as we saw last night, that gives Kuminga opportunities to operate. It gives Pajemski opportunities as well. Like, obviously, Steph Curry gives you those because he spreads the court so much. But Jimmy Butler is another guy that you cannot ignore. And so he just opens up so many things for everybody. He gives them an attitude, all these just different things, as LeBron purple overalls just said, that's what Butler does. So if this is an injury that we have to worry about, that changes the whole dynamic for the Warriors. I don't care how good Draymond is and how good Steph is and how much of these other young guys can step up, and Moody, throw him in there as well. You lose Butler for any amount of time, and that's, again, you don't want to be in the play-in. Okay, Jimmy Butler's out for a week or two or whatever the case, hopefully not, because when he turned to the reporter, and again, you know this as well as I do, and kind of had a smirk, like, he's going to have an MRI today, and we better all hold our breath, because that could change a lot of things with Jimmy Butler and the way that things go. So big three contributions going through the chalkboard standings. I showed you the Butler injury that makes me a little bit nervous about this whole thing. But the bottom line is this: great win last night. Now you're looking at Denver. It'd be nice. And I'm not a message sending person, but I do find it hard to believe that the Warriors would lose every game this year. It has happened, but lose all the games to Denver this year, including one at home in which Jokic, Murray, and Brown didn't play. And as confident as they can be, and I know that Draymond Green would still say this because he's got to believe this. At least things make headlines. We're going to win the championship. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Oh, my God. Did you hear what Draymond said? Well, they have to believe it. I mean, that's part of life, right? You believe you can get the job done? Do you believe you can, you know, whatever the count that you have, whatever you do for a living, you got to believe you're going to do it. And if somebody asks you about it, what are you going to say? Nah, I don't think I can. Yeah, this Johnson account is massive. I think I'm probably going to bomb the whole thing. It's going to suck. My presentation is going to be terrible. Like, you can't think that. You can't say that. They're going to say confident things. So they're going to walk into a Denver series, even if they lose, and get swept in the season series, including that game at Oracle in which they just, I mean, Chase Center, in which it was just like, oh, my God. So they're going to say that, but I doubt it. They can't have a whole lot of confidence. Denver has smoked them for a long time. I'd like to stay away from them, but it seems like I said, it's kind of this magnet, even though right now it's Lakers and Warriors 4-5, and Lakers have the 4, but I'm not overly confident in the Lakers. And Luka said after the game, yeah, I was terrible, this and that. He's still getting his feet under him as a Laker. And I still think long-term, even though they've had nights where, like, both those guys are really good, two ball-dominant players in which they're used to playing a certain way, to me, just isn't going to work long-term. Now, maybe it's next year. I don't know. You know, Luka's obviously not getting traded. They got Luka so that Luka can be the face of the Lakers for the next 10 years. LeBron's not done by any stretch of the imagination. But if they were to somehow, let's say they match up with the Warriors in the first round, you know, 4-5, and the Warriors beat them. Especially they would beat them like 4-1 or sweep them or something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they took offers for LeBron. They just don't seem to fit exactly. Two ball-dominant guys. It's different when Durant came to the Warriors because everybody, oh, there's only one ball. There's only one ball. Yeah, they move the ball. And there was that. Yeah, I know this for a fact. I don't remember which year it was. Klay, Steph, and Kevin Durant averaged like 17 shots a game. And they weren't counting the shots, and they didn't care. That's just kind of how it played out. They weren't ball-dominant players. Luka needs the ball in his hands. LeBron needs the ball in his hands. You know, there was nothing better, by the way, that LeBron down the stretch hit 1-3 and then bricked like 4 in a row. I love that. That's why I want Draymond to miss a 3 early in the game, not make one, because then I don't want him shooting 5 bad ones after that. You know, sometimes guys are like, oh, I'm hot tonight. No, you're not. That's not what you do. So they still got some things to work out. I'm not saying if they could, they didn't. I just still don't love the matchup necessarily. But I'll tell you this, just in terms of the Lakers long-term are going to be better with Luka. The Lakers, as far as the Warriors matchup is concerned, were tougher with Anthony Davis just because they didn't have an answer. Like, Jimmy Butler doesn't help against Anthony Davis. He just inside, he was just too dominant. You could put Looney in there and you could put, I mean, post, there's no way he could defend him. You could do whatever you wanted. Anthony Davis was going to, if he was motivated that certain night, was going to score 38, grab 15, and kick your ass. And you were just like, there's nothing we can do. I mean, Luka's really good, but you got a ton of perimeter defenders that you can throw at him with Kuminga and Butler and go on down the line. You can throw Moody. There's different guys that you can put on Luka Doncic to give him different kind of looks. And with Anthony Davis, you just had no answer. So I think they're better long-term with Luka. They have a face of the franchise for the next 10 years. But in terms of a matchup of the Warriors, remember the first three matchups were against Anthony Davis's Lakers. And he's just a really difficult matchup. So that's why I don't want to see the Mavericks. I don't want to see them drop down there and potentially have to play the Mavericks. Not because I think the Mavericks are very good. It's just, there's Anthony Davis again. Damn. And he's going to drop, you know, on that team, probably drop 40. See that play that he made against Atlanta to win that game? Guy can play. I wouldn't have made the trade, but as far as the Warriors are concerned, the guy can play. So anyway, there is your Warriors side of things. We'll get to Giants opening day, which I will be at today. But let me go down to the chat, make sure we are good to move on. Yeah, ADO, it seemed like Anthony Davis, like you're like, he's not playing very well. No, all of a sudden he just dropped 40 or 38 or whatever. Podziemski, yeah, I agree with you. Podziemski was great. That would be kind of funny. Yeah, all of a sudden they're just like, hell with it. We'll just take him back. Actually, no, I'm just kidding. I was going to say that would make a lot of sense. It probably would not. Hi, Rico. It is good to see you, my friend. Let's see. Two ball hogs. Yeah, I mean, it's just the way they play. I mean, that's a pretty simplistic term, that they're ball hogs. When you'd play with somebody at the gym, you're like, dude, come on, man, pass the ball. But it's just, that's what they do. They dominate the ball, and then they kind of look, and players play off of them. So here's Luka. If LeBron's ball dominant, Luka's standing in the corner. Luka's a great player and a great scorer. I wouldn't say he's a lot like LeBron. It's just like, he's not going to just sit there and jack threes. Like, he's not this great shooter. He's a great player. He's a great distributor. He's a smart basketball player. He can get to the rim. He can get to the free throw line. He can, you know, the 1 foot, you know, he does all sorts of great things, but it's off of the fact that the ball's in his hands and he can create situations for his teammates. And LeBron's the same way. So if either of them are standing as kind of an off-ball shooter, you know, standstill off-ball shooter, and the ball's not in their hands, they're not nearly as effective, and those are two of your guys. And then we saw last night, LeBron can be interested in defense, but at his age, he rests a little bit on the defensive end. And then Luka, per usual, and this is why Dallas got rid of him, I still wouldn't have, but he got blown by on a bunch of occasions, and he would just stand there. You know, there was a couple of times where he's like, the guy's by me, I'm cool. Let me have the ball. So, like I said, I think the Lakers can be a problem game to game, but you watched last night, and no Anthony Davis was a massive difference because they just don't have an answer. They just do not have an answer. Yeah, I will absolutely hit you up today. Let me know. Let me know where you're going to be at today, because I got a bunch of. I'm going to have the big old backpack with a bunch of actual working stuff in it. So I got to work today, pretty much. Yeah, it's kind of a pain in the butt, but I can sneak away. But like I said, I can't have booze breath when I go into the clubhouse. How's it going? And they're like, God, what are you doing? What did you do? Suck down a couple of beers in the distillery? What is wrong with you? Get out of here. You're not a professional. So anyway, all right, that's what's going on as far as the Warriors are concerned. I got about a half hour left before I got to jump out of here. Let's go to opening day for the Giants. Now, let me play. This is a couple of days ago, and I did play this for you yesterday, but I want to work off this today. So let me real quick play this John Morosi for you just really, really quickly, because he's high on the Giants.
Yesterday really caught my attention, Lauren. You consider Jordan Hicks, as Robert talked about, going back to his hometown of Houston. Six scoreless innings, just one hit, and six strikeouts. Rare is the pitcher who in the last decade has gone into that ballpark and shut down that lineup over six innings with only one hit. Jordan Hicks has done it. Of course, they also have Logan Webb and the two veterans who have joined in recent months, you could call in the case of Justin Verlander, and then Robbie Ray as well with the addition last year. So I like the way this team is coming together. I know there's a lot of talent certainly in the National League West. We've talked about the Dodgers, the Padres off to a tremendous start too. But maybe, Lauren, the NL West could be like the NL East was a year ago and put three teams.
All right, it's too early for that, but like I said, I don't really like the term. It's one of my least favorite terms, small sample size. We have what we have to go on, and today's a big game, not only because it's the home opener and it creates buzz in the park and all those kind of things, and we're putting up graphics like this that are like, whoa, when they get off to these starts, look what they do. I mean, they won the World Series. You know, they lost the World Series. they at least got in the playoffs, which is, you know, that would be very satisfying, I think, to a lot of fans for the Giants if they could do those kind of things. So let me pop something up here, because this is where I think it gets really important. I want to talk about the offense in just a second, how big of a deal that is. But this is the starting pitchers coming up, and Verlander's going today. And Seattle last year had the best rotation in all of baseball. And you couple that with the ballpark. So these are going to be low-scoring games. They should be. Now, today's going to be, you know, 12-10. But they should be low-scoring games. Verlander was good, not great, in his first outing. He's 42 coming off a neck injury. Looked really good in spring. I'll give him that. But still, he's a question mark to me. He's certainly not in the bank. Robbie Ray was great for 15 hitters. And I'm not going to say literally the wheels fell off, because he doesn't have wheels. But the term has never applied more than what it did in Robbie Ray's first outing after the 15 hitters. And then he came out and was like, what the hell just happened to this guy? Everything was gone. And then Jordan Hicks again. And the reason I bring it up is because then Jordan Hicks goes. And if he can do it in Houston in that bandbox against that lineup, as John Morosi said, then Seattle, who's not a good hitting team, great pitching team, not a great hitting team, then Jordan Hicks should be able to do it in this ballpark against Seattle. So this weekend series, to me, is huge, because Verlander's still a question mark, but he gets it in this park with a bad offense. He should be able to shut them down. Ray, same way. Hicks, same way. We know what Logan Webb's going to do, because he did it last time out. So what is 2, 3, 4 in the rotation going to do? And then 5 is, okay, we'll see. You know, Landon Root was good, not great. I know Birdsong could be better from the last time out, but I'm just a big Birdsong guy, and there's a lot of depth, as we talk about every day in the minor league. So they should be able to field a pretty decent number 5, and your 5 is kind of a wild card anyway in a rotation. Very few rotations have a set 5 that are good 1-5. Seattle happens to be one of those teams that does. So look, this is a massive series to me, even though it's very early in the season, because Seattle can pitch the hell out of the ball in their starting rotation, and you're going against what last year was the best rotation in baseball. Can you hold up against them in your park, in which we know runs are at a premium? So everybody's talking about the pitching, so that's one side of it. The other side of it, to me, is this team that is supposedly offensively was very good on the road, scoring all the runs that they did. But I told you this, and I've told you this ever since the season started. They didn't have problems scoring on the road last year. They hit home runs at the 7th best clip in baseball. They could score runs on the road. Can they score runs, or at least enough key hits, runners in scoring position? Last year, they were 24th in runners in scoring position, and they would just go through stretches, and all teams do. We're just like, this team is atrocious with runners in scoring position. That's what they have to be. I'm not comping this team to 10, 12, and 14, but when those teams won at a high level, it was pitching, defense, key hits. And so far, other than the last game where they finally committed an error, they've gotten the pitching, and the pen is very good. I haven't even mentioned that. Up until last game, they hadn't committed an error, and I still think they're going to be solid defensively. If you just look around the diamond, from Patrick Bailey to Matt Chapman to Mike Yastrzemski to Jung-Hoo Lee, Ramos, I think, can be an above-average corner outfielder. He's not a center fielder, but they should be good defensively. So if they pitch, if the pen's good, and if they play defense, those things on paper look like they could happen. Now you swing things to the offense, and you say, all right, you did it on the road. Like, Willie Adames' batting average is not great. He hasn't been off to a great start, but he had a 2-run double, and that was a key hit in one of the games in Houston to help win that game. I think it was the Logan Webb game. They scored 3 runs. It was a 2-run double by Willie Adames and a home run by Ramos. Boom, win. They don't need to score 5 or 6. They won't score 5 or 6 in this ballpark. Can your pitching do enough for you that you can win? Now, 4 is the magic. 4 is the magic number. 4 is the magic number for the Giants to win games. When they hit that number, they're really tough to beat, especially at home. But they're going to have to win 3-2, 3-1. And especially in this series against Seattle. Like I said, we'll come back. We'll reconvene tomorrow, 10 a.m. on Saturday. And also again on Monday after the series is completely finished. And you watch. It'll be like 10-8 games because, that's just what happens. I predict something and then it goes a totally different way. But on paper, where the game is not played, these should be low-scoring games against Seattle. Given the park, given the starting pitching for Seattle, given what the Giants, I think, potentially could do. There's that word again. These should be 2-1, 3-2, 1-zip, 2-zip type games. Who gets the key hits? Seattle doesn't have a very good offense. So these should be games that you win, but you win low scoring. And I always tell you this. I don't care what the sport is. If you only have one way to win, you're not going to be very successful. If you have multiple ways to win, which is Dodgers and all the better teams in the league, oh, you want to play a 15-12, we can do that. You want to play a 2-zip, we can do that. You want to play one run where we have to execute at the end of a game, we can do that. You know, like all these different ways. Right now, to me, in this park especially, Giants are probably going to win 3-2-2-1 type games. That's just especially against this rotation that they're going against. Could they break out and score six? Maybe. I mean, that would be really, really cool. So if they can show the ability to be, okay, you want to play that game, you'll play this game, you'll play that game. Because you look across the board and there are certain teams in every kind of sport and they can only win a certain way. Like if the game goes like this, we'll win. And the Giants kind of have to break out of that, especially at home. Like you can't have just one way to win. Okay, we can only win those low scoring games. So let's hope somebody doesn't, you know, go off in the first inning. Mariners are up 5-0. And all of a sudden, you know, we got to fight back. Mariners probably won't be a 5-0 because they can't hit. But you get the idea. So that's Giants opener and do it at home. As far as the Giants are concerned, if, like I said, if you're going to the park, you can hit me up. I'll have my email on my trusty little phone. Hit me up where you're going to be. I am going to get down there. Like I said, I got to be down there before 10:30 so that I can get in the dugout for Bob Melvin, shake hands, kiss baby, see everybody for the opener. But got to do, you know, got to kind of watch the game and then I'm going to go in the clubhouse afterwards. So it's not like I'm chugging beers, but I'd love to say hello to people. If you hit me up, I'll try to see what I can do. But yeah, I probably won't be chugging beers as I did at the A's game. That was more of a fan experience that I had to do. But as we're going to, let me ask you this question before we get to some Niner stuff and then wrap it up at the top of the hour. Just, I want to know how you're feeling going into the home opener. Are you excited about it? You can watch it. I know it's a Friday. Can you do those kind of things? How are you feeling about the Giants going into this thing? People are saying nice things about the Giants. It does suck, by the way, that the Dodgers and the Padres are so good, but that's just kind of how it is. So there you go. All right, that's the story on the Giants side of things. Couple things on the Niners. Let me pop this up for you. This is good, actually. I know this sounds weird, but there's George Kittle. You see the G Kittle? And he's like, Trey McBride, let's effing go, with like four G's. So he gets up to a new four-year, $76 million extension again, according to Rap Sheet. And he becomes the highest paid tight end in the league. Now, he's younger than George Kittle. I understand that. Very good pass catcher. Not nearly the blocker that George Kittle is. George Kittle is the best tight end in the league. And it's not like George Kittle's 35. He's 30. So he's got plenty of years left in the tank and is coming off a great season in which he was easily the best tight end in all of the NFL. So the reason he's so excited is Trey McBride's getting $19 million per. I haven't seen the guarantees on it. So even over that $19 million, 19, 38, 76. Yeah, that is right. So he's getting 19 per. George Kittle's probably going to get 20. So we'll see how that goes. But now it's not that it shifts from Brock Purdy, because as we know from the offseason program, that stuff's going to be happening in April. And then you're going to have the rookie camps. And then after that, you're going to have OTAs. And so you want to get the Brock thing done. And that's still number one on everybody's list. But all of a sudden, Trey McBride gets paid for the Cardinals. And you're like, okay, well, George Kittle's up next, and they are going to extend him in this offseason. It is a goal. I believe it's going to happen, but we'll just have to see. But there are the parameters right there. McBride gets paid. George Kittle's all excited about it because he knows he's topping that number. So you look at the Niners and you go, look, there's the parameters of it. Give me a little bit more than that, probably 20 a year if McBride's making 19. And how crazy is that? What is it about? Didn't Gruden say after they paid Derek Carr that you couldn't have two 20 million guys, only your quarterback could be making $20 million? And now tight ends, who were so vastly underpaid for so many years, are close to $20 million per on an AAV, which, again, like, there's a lot of funny money in there. I get it. But still, the number has gone up, and you can thank guys like George Kittle and Travis Kelce and all those kind of things. But the tight end position is getting its due, even though it's still underpaid by certain standards. It's not the wide receiver position. But he's going to get $20 million per, so that's that. Let me pop this up there for you. So we've talked so much about why the 49ers are needed to purge, right? And why have they purged? And, guys, Jed getting cheap and all this kind of stuff. And I've told you this time and time again. The reason why they had to purge is because thank goodness for Brock Purdy. He saved that Trey Lance thing. No, he didn't. You still lost the two first-round picks. But what really has been the two first-round picks they should have, should be on the team, should be cheap labor. They'd be getting close to needing extensions, but you've extended so many guys. And as I've told you, the teams like the Rams, the Eagles, the Packers. They have young guys not making anything yet, and they offset the big salaries. So Jordan Love has gotten paid. Jalen Hurts has gotten paid. Jared Goff has gotten paid. But they've balanced those things out with the guys that they're paying with versus guys who haven't gotten paid yet on those teams. And the Niners don't have that. Now, 2024, that draft was a step in the right direction. But you want to know why the 49ers had to purge in one picture? Look at this. Look how bad the drafts were in 2022 and 2023. That's why. These guys, a lot of these guys are later picks. I understand that. But Drake Jackson, second-round pick, gave them nothing. Ty Davis Price, third-round pick, nothing. Danny Gray, third-round pick, nothing. Burford, I thought he was, you know, going to be all right. Fourth-round pick. And again, those are hit and miss, nothing. Womack, gone. Zakel, nothing. Kalia Davis, nothing. Now, these are six-round picks. Castro Fields never made the team. Purdy saved that draft. Everybody else in 2022 sucked. Jair Brown, the jury is out on him. Jake Moody, most people want him gone. These are third-round picks in Brown, Moody, and Latu. Now, Brown is starting. I'll give him that. But Moody's very questionable. Latu, gone. That's a third-round pick. That's a starter. Fred Warner was a third-round pick. A third-round pick should be a starter. Should be a guy that's at least contributing somehow. Nope. Darrell Luter Jr., he's been a guy that's been hurt a lot, but that's, you know, fifth round, that's hit and miss. I get it. Beal has given him nothing. Winters had an opportunity. Willis has given him nothing. Bell was a drop machine. And Jalen Graham for a seventh rounder, not terrible. You know, not terrible. He's a special teams kind of a player. But you wonder why they had to purge, because you've got to hit in the draft. And this is what makes you nervous about John and Kyle is, their whole thing is we're going to hit in the draft. Now, one thing absent from there, if you would, you know, you're like, well, let's be fair. You know what's absent from there? First round picks. See that? 2 through 7, because in 22 and 23, Trey Lance cost them those first round picks. So no first round picks. So basically you missed on Trey. So you missed on both first round picks, missed on a second round pick in Jackson, third round pick in Price, third round pick in Gray, fourth round pick in Burford. I'm not going to really get on, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks. I mean, Purdy has done a nice job. Brown, I don't know that he is a starting safety. His speed, and it's not everything, but he runs in the 4.6s. I don't know if your free safety can do that. Moody, Latu was just, I don't know what they were doing. Obviously, they were looking for a backup so badly for George Kittle that in those drafts, they took two tight ends. Neither worked out. And you get in, like I said, you get into the sixth, seventh rounds, those are crapshoots. So I'm not going to get over, you know, really over them for those kind of things, even though they've hit in the past. But the third rounders of Latu, Moody, Brown, Gray, Price, Jackson, even Burford in the fourth round, those should be guys who should be contributing to you in some way, shape, or form. And in addition to that, so for two straight years, basically, you didn't have first rounders, so you sucked those. Drake Jackson has stunk. And he's not going to do anything for you. So that's a second round pick. So you missed on all your first and second round picks and your third round picks in Price and Gray and Moody, I don't love, and Jair Brown, we'll see, and Latu, you missed. So basically, you missed first, second, and third round for real high impact players for two straight years. And people go, why are they doing this? Because you've got a draft. Your lifeblood is the draft. You have to be able to draft. And if you have drafts for two consecutive years that look like that, and you make the mistake of Trey Lance, which not enough people talk about, the downfall of the 49ers. And, you know, I looked this morning and people are sending me this. The Niners are still favored in Vegas to still win the division. I don't doubt that because they still have a bunch of talent. And they're playing a last place schedule. But you wonder how you fall from the top ranks to now going, are you good? Are you can you play with the Packers and the Lions and the Eagles and the Rams and the top teams in the NFC? I don't know. Because when you bomb the draft for two straight years, and let's put Purdy in there. Absolutely. That's massive that you got Purdy. But outside of that, you basically bomb the draft for two straight years. You can't compete. There's got to be something drastic that you have to do. And the thing drastically that they had to do was say, we got to start purging some guys because we don't have the cheap guys making it up. We don't have any balance on this roster. It's really high paid guys. And then it's got to be guys making nothing. Because the guys that were supposed to contribute, the first round picks that are supposed to be cheap right now, don't exist. The second round picks that were supposed to be cheap and be starters don't exist. The only third round pick right there that's a starter that you saw was Jair Brown, and he's And I got a kicker that we're going to have to bring in a veteran for, so that was a bomb of a pick. I don't like taking kickers. Like I said, it takes them a year or two. You can find them everywhere. The Bates guy they got out of another league. Brandon Aubrey, the guy from Dallas who can kick it, just unbelievably well. They found him in the middle of nowhere. Like, kickers can be found. You know, you need them. I'm not saying that you don't, but I think that if in this competition, I've said this before, that they being a veteran and Kyle Shanahan's going to make the final choice on this. I know he has a special teams guy who may recommend it to him, but the way that I've said this before, the way that Kyle's going to plan a game is I'd rather have less of a leg but no accuracy wise that this person's going to make that kick, the Robbie Gould thing, in 53 and in. So if they got the ball to the 35, Kyle Shanahan knew with a pretty, high percentage that he was going to get a field goal out of that. With Jake Mooney, he might hit a 58, he might shank a 42. That ain't how it works. We talk about that all the time. I need to know what you are. Are you in the bank? Are you a what if? Jake Moody's a massive what if, and Kyle hates that. So if this competition is close, the front office is going to go, oh man, we used a third round pick. We got to keep him. And Kyle Shanahan's going to go, I don't care. I want a reliable kicker from the 35 in. I just know in my head, got to get it to the 35. So that's how his play calling is going to work. Okay, we got to get it to the 35. We'll get a field goal. I know he's conservative. I know you want to go for touchdowns. That maybe having Jake Moody's good because he's like, I can't rely on this field goal. I gotta be aggressive. I'd much rather see a more aggressive Kyle Shanahan, and hopefully he is. But looking at this graphic yesterday, and this is our good friends from, and again, everybody knows this. It's just you see it in black and white at SF Data Niners. You see that at the bottom right hand corner. They just posted it. I know this, but to see it in black and white and gray, I guess too. You just sit there and you go, what? How are they in this position? How are they in this position? My God, look at that. That's the Trey Lance effect right there. No first rounders, a bomb of a second rounder, Ty Davis Price, Danny Gray, Spencer Burford. Those are supposed to be players that are contributing. Brock Purdy, great job. Jared Brown, I'm nervous. Jake Moody, my God. Wow. Luter Jr. And then you get into the fifth round. Okay, I understand that. But if you throw Brock Purdy out of this, which you can't, but if you do, your best pick is, I guess, Jair Brown. Luter Jr. showing you nothing. Beal's showing you nothing. Winters isn't ready. Willis isn't ready. Bell's gone, thank God. Graham got a chance. I mean, those are really bad picks. And that does two things. It tells you why they are where they are in terms of having to purge things because there's no middle class on this roster. And the second thing is when John Lynch says, now, they get first rounders. They have an 11th overall pick. I understand that. But the only two players to make it through to a second contract with the 49ers as first round picks under John and Kyle, Nick Bosa, and Brandon Ayuk, who they regret. McGlinchey never made it to a second contract. That's how I think of a successful pick. If that pick doesn't make it to a second contract, that's not a successful pick, period. So when they say, hey, we got this thing, it's called the NFL draft, and that's our plan. And then you see something like that, you go, ugh, don't like that plan very much. Now, before that, it was Fred Warner and George Kittle and Dre Greenlaw and D'Amador Lenore. And like they made tons of great picks in the second round. Not Debo Samuel's a second rounder. I mean, they've done some really great things. So it's kind of this thing that you're like, are they going to be good draft guys? Are they going to be bad draft guys? Because that 22 and 23, you go, God, why are they purging? Why do they have to do this? Because they have an upper class, they have a lower class, they have nothing here. And that's what those draft picks should be. Those first, second, third round picks, and after that, it's a crapshoot. And believe me, with that, it's a crapshoot. All of it's a crapshoot. That's what I mean. Draft's a lottery ticket. That's what it is. Even at pick 11, like that's not a guarantee. Javon Kinlaw, that's not a guarantee. Like, you're picking where you're picking. Who knows? Look, you could hit, you're going to miss. You're going to go through a draft. That's why they do all the redrafts all the time. Oh, that guy would have been picked here. That guy would have been picked there. I mean, Brock Purdy in a redraft in 2022 would have been like a top five pick, if not the top pick. So it doesn't, it's just a complete crapshoot. If pick 262 can be up for a $60 million contract, the last pick in the draft, it clearly means the NFL doesn't necessarily know what the hell they're doing. And sometimes you just get lucky. It's just what it is. So if you're putting all your eggs in the NFL draft and you're the Niners, you better just hope against hope that it's, the Debo Warners, Kittles, Greenlaws, Purdy's, DJ Jones kind of drafts, and it's not what we just showed you. Because that's vomit-inducing right there. In 2024, they got right back on the right track. 2024 is looking good. But those 22 and 23, that's why they are where they are. Because if you think about it, a guy that was drafted in 22. He's like 24, 25, 26 years old right now. That's it. That's your guys. Those are the guys you're missing. That right, those young, really good players who haven't hit their second contract yet, that you're going, you got a lot of cheap labor still here, and these guys are contributing at a really high level. That's what's happening in Philly, in LA with the Rams, and in Green Bay, places like that, Detroit. You know, Gibbs isn't up for a contract yet. Jack Campbell's not up for a contract yet. You know, all these guys that they have, Brian Branch isn't up for a contract yet in Detroit. You know, Jalen Carter in Philadelphia he's not eligible for an extension right now. Those two guys they just drafted, those two, you know, Cooper DeJean, he's working on a rookie contract. He's a second year guy. Those are the guys that, so you can pay your quarterback and not be like, oh my God, we have to purge our entire team because we have to pay Jalen Hurts. They didn't have to do that. Green Bay didn't have to purge their team to pay Jordan Love. They got young guys that are still making money. Same thing. They gave Jared Goff an extension. It didn't kill what the Lions are doing. Penny Sewell has gotten money. I mean, there's certain guys who have gotten money, but they got enough guys. Laporta's not getting paid yet. He's a really good contributor. That's what the Niners lost in those two drafts, is guys that were cheap and would contribute. And what that means is, and I told you this yesterday, you have 3 and 5 year windows. Now, guys, everybody starts getting paid. Now you got to purge a little bit, and you can't keep everybody. That's fine. But you cannot have complete just bombs of drafts. You like that sound effect? You cannot bomb two drafts in a row and think that you're going to stay on top of the mountaintop. It doesn't work that way. And that's why they had to do what they did. So everyone's freaking out. Why didn't you sign this guy? Why didn't you sign that guy? Because they bombed two drafts in a row. That's your cheap labor. That's your starting, you know, whatever. You're starting players that you don't have. Why do you have a defensive line where there's literally nobody but Nick Bosa? Like, why is Nick Bosa out there by himself and there's no one else on the defensive line? That's what they should have drafted. That's what they would have drafted. Why do they have any depth at linebacker who could fill in for Dre Greenlaw now that he's gone? Because of that, what I just showed you. Not having first-round picks is a killer. Just a killer, man. What else do we have? Let's see here. Yeah, the 49ers have a concept of a plan. Let's hope that it works. Look, I'm not saying they can't. They can. They can do this. It's just, man, sorry. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news. I just saw that last night. I was just like, oh, my God. Oh. Woo, that was bad. It was Miami. I have to go back and look. I think they might have moved those picks. I did know at one point who they used them on, but the trade was with Miami to move up. And so they gave Miami those picks. So I have to go back and look exactly who was picked in that. But regardless of who it was, I got to believe that even if they were the first rounders, at the very least, they're a contributor and maybe a starter. But like we talk about all the time, I mean, Kinlaw was a bomb in the first round. I liked McGlinchey, but he didn't make it to a second contract. I mean, it doesn't guarantee. Reuben Foster, they traded up and was a first round pick. That wasn't very good. So, yeah, it doesn't mean that your guys are going to be great. I mean, I even look at Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks was a second round pick. And I did this earlier, and I don't want to contribute more. There's like 4, 5, 6 guys drafted around Aaron Banks that would have been like, oh, I wish they had that guy. Aaron Banks wasn't a success. That wasn't a good pick. He was a second-round pick that never made it to a second contract. Green Bay vastly overpaid him. Now, I don't know what the guarantees are on that deal, but just up front in funny money, he got 4 years and $77 million. Like, there's no way they were going to pay that. But he wasn't a really good player. He gave up 25 pressures in the pass game last year. 25. And I don't care what nice things John and Kyle say about Jake Brendel. He was 12th in the run game. He was not a terrible run game center. He gave up far too much pressure in the middle. So you combine him and Aaron Banks in the middle with a quarterback barely over 6 foot, and you wonder why Brock Purdy struggled sometimes last year, because he was throwing blind. He's like, well, this is where the guy's supposed to be. I mean, he admitted it in the Rams game when he threw the interception down the right sideline when Juwan Jennings was bracketed. He literally said after the game, I couldn't see it. I had to throw it. Just threw it up because I know that Juwan Jennings is big and physical and might be able to make a play on the ball. But he stumbled. He was bracketed. Brock didn't see it. It was like, why not? Because he couldn't see, because there was pressure from the middle. And that's one thing they have to fix. And so, you know, they can say really nice things about Jake Brendel, but then you can go back and watch and go, oh, okay. The numbers don't always tell the truth. I don't mean to be negative about everything, but I'm, you know, it's tough. What else today? What else? Anything else on anybody else's mind today? I think I might have a, Did I have a caboose or did I take it out today? I might have taken it out because I knew that we were had only a little bit of time today. Because we got because I got to go down to the yard today. So I might have pulled it out of there. Let me look. I thought I had one. Could have sworn I did. Hang on. I think I do. Yeah, I remember putting it in here. Hang on just a sec. Oh, I meant to look this up because I don't know if this is a recent story. I'll pop this up anyway. For a sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol. And yeah, I still haven't made the open. I'm sorry. But fatal sex. Man dies during intercourse. Extreme orgasm was the apparent cause of death, according to a post-mortem report. Charles Mawa's death was a result of an excessive orgasm, which caused blood vessels in his brain to rupture. Oof. I was thinking about this. I was thinking that wouldn't be the worst way to go, but then that's going to hurt probably for about, 60 seconds. I'd just rather go in my sleep, I guess. But yeah, that does sound painful. The only reason I brought this in for the sweet, clean, family-friendly caboose pistol today was to say that would probably be the best way to go. But now that I just even read that top part, excessive orgasm caused a blood vessel to rupture. That probably didn't feel good. I mean, it was probably quick, but at first I thought, well, this is just the way to go, right? If you're going to go. And I told you the story about me and Papa, and we interviewed Dick Enberg before he passed away, and he was into his career. He was doing the Padres games, and he said it much more eloquently than this in a Dick Enberg kind of a way. But he said that the way he'd like to go is like a shotgun blast from a jealous husband, and just boom, and it's over. You know, after the fact, right? That he was in there doing that. So I personally was like, oh my, like that's probably not the way I'd want to go. And this way sounds, I thought at the time when I just first saw it quickly that it wouldn't be so bad, but yeah, that doesn't sound great either. That does not sound great either. So there you go. All right. I got to jump quickly. I'm sorry. How high can they climb? That is the Warriors side of things as they beat the Lakers last night. I showed you all that. There's Justin Verlander in the corner. He is going today for the Giants. Sorry to depress you about the Warriors, about the Niners. I didn't mean to, but I saw that yesterday in black and white. We all know that. But God, I looked at that thing and I'm just like, God, people are wondering why they're having to purge all these guys. That's why. Like, don't get on Jed York about it. So who's ever was in charge of those drafts, and you got to put Kyle in there, you got to put John in there, whoever is part of the front office, all that kind of stuff. Adam Peters was part of that before he ran off to the Commanders and dominated a bunch of stuff. I mean, man, that's just, I mean, it's right there in black and white, man. Hi, Max. Good to see you, my friend. Hello, hello, hello. I'm sorry for those who are just coming because normally we do at least till 10 o'clock, but I got to run to the ballpark. Bob Melvin is speaking at 10:30. I want to be in the dugout for that, and it's going to take me from this particular point, 9:06, at least an hour 15 to get down there, so I'm going to be having to run, and I don't like to run. You know me. But good to see you, Antonio. Excellent, excellent to see you, my friend. So just real quickly, I don't know if I should have popped up that. Yeah, extreme, very extreme. I've clearly never had one of those. And like I said, I thought maybe that would be the way to go. But then again, I don't want anything rupturing in my head. And I guess it would have been quick, though. I guess that would have been the whole thing. It was like you finish, and then all of a sudden, and then it's like, see ya, gone. So anyway, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I know everyone's mad at me. What's the bad news now, dude? Thanks for making our Friday. I apologize. I will look this up, Kyle, by the way. I will look up what was used on them and who was on the board at that particular time. By the way, people are stealing my concept. Did you see that? That I did who's on the board, and I did that whole mock draft, and I owe you one of those on Monday. People are stealing that from me, and I know you people. I'm telling you, I saw that you stole my concept. So for those who know, just so you know. Hi, Mark. Hi, Francis. Mary, it's great to see you. Let's see. I want to make sure that I acknowledge everybody before I get out of here. Again, thanks to our good friends at East Coast Red and Gold Podcast. I was just going to say that if you would please hit the like button, at least over here on YouTube, that would really help things. So again, thanks for watching on X today. Thanks for watching on YouTube, Twitch, YouTube, John Lund Unleashed, YouTube, Bay Area Sports Collective, LinkedIn, people are watching today, and on Facebook. Everybody have a great Friday. I will be back to give you a full report from the game tomorrow at 10 a.m. right here. And here's the other thing I want to make sure that you know. Keep your alerts on today or join today at John Lund Unleashed on YouTube because I'll be posting all sorts of things. I'll be taking all my gear with me today, and I'll be posting all sorts of things from the ballpark today, from the home opener today. So Bob Melvin in the dugout, all these different things I'm going to do. I'm going to run down there, talk to players after the game, all those kind of things. So keep your alerts on because I'll post shorts and all sorts of things, and I'll hit you up, and I'll have a bunch of stuff from the game today with the Giants home opener. So make sure that you stay, keep your alerts on, hit the like button. If you would do all those things, you would make my day. Have a great Friday. I'll talk to you Saturday, and I'll post a bunch of stuff from the game.
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!